We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that shit. We gonna see him soon. You feel me?
Right. Welcome to another edition of the Butting Heads Podcast on Rams Talk Radio. I'm Steve Ribeiro, as always, back with my guy Johnny Gomez. Johnny, we've had some pods coming out. We actually haven't sat down and recorded in like 3 weeks. How you been, man? Been a while.
Like, I forgot what Steve sounded like. I kind of missed the little Stevie in the Rams Talk podcast here. But the better question is, Steve, how are you doing after such a big heartbreak that seems all too familiar?
You know, man, I game seven of the Sixers was yesterday, and Saturday night I was talking to my fiance and I was like, should we try and go to this game? Should we drive from New York to Philly, pay like $300 for tickets? And then she was like, I mean, it's not even the finals. And I was like, you know what? You're right. It's not the finals. They're in game seven against the Hawks. I had a lacrosse game last night at 10 p.m., which was during the fourth quarter of this game. I went to the game. I was going to record it and not check my phone to watch the rest when I get home. Somebody let me know that they lost. Thank God. You know, I haven't really been a Sixers fan for all that long. And when I really started to, like, get into the team, was when the process started, so I didn't give a shit if they were losing. That's like, that was fine. So you kind of just forget like how much you hate sports until your team just fucking collapses at all, like in the most like up in like to the point where you don't like you have absolutely no faith in anything about the team anymore. Like your second best player is just passing up open dunks. Like, I don't even know what the NFL equivalent of that be. If it would be like, if like Robert Woods lined up on the right side of the field by himself and everyone else was on the left side, but Jared Goff just like took a knee because he didn't have faith he could throw the ball accurately 30 yards down the field. It just like, I hate him. I hate him, man. I can't stand him. I'm glad they don't deserve to be alive. Like, I feel like when the Rams win the playoffs, you're like, we're just like, well, they had a good season. Like, it was a good game. It could have went better. But what are you going to do? The 76ers do not deserve to be in the playoffs anymore. And I don't give a shit that if they were in the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe they could have beaten the Bucks. Maybe they would have figured it out. They don't fucking deserve it, dude. The Hawks are not good. They're probably going to get swept by the Bucks. They do not deserve to be in the playoffs.
Tell us how you really feel there, Steve.
My God. Well, I'm so glad I didn't have to watch the second half of that game.
Oh, man. I can't even say anything, though, because the Lakers equally had high expectations, and just got dismantled by the Phoenix Suns. So
your second best player was hurt, and the Suns are good. Hawks are not good. They would have been out in the first round in the West, but they're in the conference finals because the Sixers are just a train wreck. They're not well coached. They have two good players. Sorry, I'll never say a bad thing about Seth Curry again. And now they're going to have to trade Ben Simmons for I don't fucking know what. But he's not going to be on the team next year. There's absolutely no way after that series. He will get booed every time he takes the court in Philly.
And when your coach pretty much tells you that he doesn't have faith in you, there's really nowhere to go but a trade after that point.
Man, it's like we're a Sixers podcast, we'd be dissecting these post-game quotes. Ben Simmons basically said in the post-game interview, well, winning's hard. It's not easy to win the NBA. He asked, how many shots does Trae Young miss in this game? I don't know. I don't even know what, he's basically acting like this is the type of player he is. And there's a difference between not shooting threes and not shooting at all. You don't need to be at the three-point line jacking threes. You cannot be passing up dunks. It's free points. And that the game is over there. I don't know. Anyways, this is not a Sixers podcast. I'm all into hockey now. Go Golden Knights. Can't wait for football to start.
Sorry, Steve. I had to bring that up.
Oh, my God. They're the worst. They're the fucking worst. My God, I mean, nothing in my life as a Rams fan has been as disappointing as that. At least when the Rams were bad, they were bad. I would say the most disappointing Rams season of my adult life was either 2011 after the year they went 7-9, where they weren't really good. So it's it is what it is. Or 2019, where after the Super Bowl run, we don't make the playoffs. And it's at least it was easy to figure out what happened. And that team, I don't know, it's not even close. They weren't the one seed, and they didn't get fucking ran off the field in the first round by the Panthers or some shit. my God. Anyways, we are in part three of our Less Need trade report cards. We are going through every trade Less Need has ever made. If you haven't listened to the first two pods yet, please check them out. Last two episodes of Butting Head, the first one we did, every trade he made as a GM of the St. Louis Rams, which was between 2012 and 2015. Last pod was 2016 and 2017. That included a lot of meaty trades in there. This week's pod, we're starting with 2018, which was Less Need's busiest offseason, I think, ever. There wasn't, the monumental trade. You could probably rank the biggest trades of his career, and I would say maybe his top four or five aren't in this season, but there's a shitload of trades. So let's go back to it. And I want to let you start on this, Johnny. First trade they made that year, they traded Robert Quinn, former All-Pro, one of the better Rams of the last 10 years. They traded him in a 2018 sixth-round pick that ended up becoming Cornell Armstrong to the Dolphins. For a 2018 fourth, that became Brian Allen, and a 2018 sixth that they would end up trading, that would become Sam Jones. So, you obviously need context of this trade. Robert Quinn had a big contract. They moved on here for him so they could bring in some new talent. But, a couple years later, knowing that Robert Quinn is still decent and in the NFL, how would you grade this trade?
It's kind of interesting because if you look at what Robert Quinn has done recently, the Rams definitely lost this trade. But at the same time, he didn't exactly stick around with the Miami Dolphins either. So at the end of the day, the Rams needed to free up some money. And then Robert Quinn also didn't exactly fit the defensive scheme that they were going with. So basically, at the end of it all, I gave it a C just because it was something they needed to do. It's just, it's disappointing that they didn't get really anything out of it except Brian Allen.
So yeah. They basically didn't get anything out of it.
Pretty much. That's the accurate answer there. So I gave it a C, just because it, like I said, it needed to be done regardless. But you could never know what you're going to get in the NFL draft. It just so that happened this time that they basically, the best thing they got was Brian Allen.
Yeah, so it's a hard one, man. I actually gave it a D, because we're doing this podcast with hindsight. We're factoring in what the picks became. The pick became Brian Allen, so it gets a bad grade from me. It is not a good pick. Robert Quinn's still playing. You know, he is not what he was at his best, but he'd be pretty fucking useful on the Rams, like, if he were still here. I know it probably was never feasible with that contract, but, I mean, you look at the players they bring in that offseason. They did have to free up a lot of cap space, but, like, if you wanted to keep Robert Quinn, you could have either sacrificed one of, like, LaMarcus Joyner or Ndamukong Suh or Brandon Cooks or Keep Talib. Like, do you want to sacrifice one of those players for Robert Quinn? It's tough to say, you know. In 2018, I mean, I don't know. Who would you have rather had, Robert Quinn or Ndamukong Suh? I feel like it's probably Ndamukong Suh, right?
Yeah, because at that point, we don't know what we're going to get with Ndamukong Suh. And like I said, I think from a scheme perspective, Robert Quinn didn't exactly fit the mold the Rams were going with. So, yeah, as much as Robert Quinn did do well after leaving the Rams as well, I still think that they made the best case scenario here. They ended up getting Ndamukong Suh, who maybe didn't do as well as we would have hoped. But again, that's in retrospect. That's not from that moment standpoint. From that moment standpoint, we're thinking a little bit more highly of Ndamukong Suh. Let's be real.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of a way to justify my D. When I was in high school, we had a project where we had to shoot a video, like replicating. I think the assignment was something like replicate a scene from All Quiet on the Western Front, the book. And me and my friend shot a movie trailer of just like us basically fucking around in the woods. And like I post-produced it, like the video looked pretty cool and we loved it. And you could tell we clearly put an effort into it, but it had absolutely nothing to do with the book. And you couldn't, like, even though we tried, you look at the end result and it's like my teacher must have looked at it and said, yeah, they tried, you know, they put effort into this, but at the end of the day, their video is basically the high school project equivalent of Brian Allen. It has amounted to nothing. So it got a D.
Ouch.
Yep. So that's my D. It's probably better than a D, but the end result was Brian Allen. Robert Quinn's one of the best players the Rams have had in the last decade. So yeah, I'm not getting more than a D. Next trade, one near and dear to my heart, Johnny. We traded a 2018 fourth-round pick that became Armani Watts. I don't know why I called that. I don't know what I just said. And a 2019 second-round pick for Juan Thornhill. The 2019 second-round pick ended up becoming Juan Thornhill. We traded this to the Chiefs for my man, Marcus Peters, and a 2018 sixth-round pick. Johnny, is there a NASCAR race happening in your backyard right now?
Well, you know, I didn't have anybody outside my window, which, by the way, my window's closed, and now all of a sudden there wants to be a motorcycle rally, like, in front of my house. So, you know, podcasting.
I was going to ignore it. It just kept getting louder and louder. But, yeah. 2018 fourth, 2019 second for Marcus Peters, and a 2018 sixth that the Rams would end up trading, ended up becoming Cornell Armstrong. You know, I still give this a B+. Even though Marcus Peters was only here for a year and a half, and that second season was really up and down. I mean, the first one was a little up and down. I ultimately feel like the Rams don't make the Super Bowl if they don't make this trade. Yeah, you get to keep Tlaib, and you know when Tlaib was out, that secondary was a little rough. But when they were together, they were locked. They was a lockdown duo when the two of them were together in 2018. They were crushing it, and I think it was they needed, like, you know, I think if the team was to keep Tlaib and either somebody they drafted or a free agent that they put out there, or maybe it was Troy Hill. If that was the case in 2018, I don't know if this team goes to the Super Bowl. And I think that, like, even though it didn't last that long, you did give up a second-round pick, you did give up a fourth-round pick, I think the results we got were worth the price. And, I mean, even if in hindsight, you know, these picks don't end up killing you, I give this a B+. I think it was the right trade. I think it helped us tremendously that year. Even though, you know, everyone has their own take on Marcus Peters, I think we needed him that season.
I'm actually surprised you gave it just a B+. I gave it an A+, honestly.
Okay, I love it. I love it. I mean, it's only because, like, he wasn't here that long, and you did give up some decent draft capital. I mean, ultimately, that 2019 second ended up becoming the second to last pick in the second round. So, I mean, yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal. I'll bump it up to an A-, maybe. I don't know.
So here's my take on it. So you make a good point that Marcus Peters wasn't really here for that long. But as you also mentioned, you know, he's partially responsible for getting the Rams to the Super Bowl. You know, he had a very big impact with the Aqib Talib, and it was a nice splash into free agency that I think everyone started to see Les Snead getting even more and more ridiculous with his wheeling and dealing here. But this was one for the better. You know, they did give up a little bit of draft capital, but still wasn't that big compared to what Marcus Peters contributed. And even though he didn't stay with the team that long, it also led up to us getting Jalen Ramsey later on. While it wasn't like a straight up swap, it pretty much was. So in the end, yeah, we gave up a little bit for Marcus Peters, but don't forget that his contract was ending pretty soon too. The Baltimore Ravens actually had to re-sign him to a larger contract. So the Rams got him for really cheap for a Marcus Peters anyway. And, you know, didn't give up a whole lot, if you ask me. So that's why I gave it an A+. I thought it was a solid trade.
I mean, yeah, I think you sold me. I'll bump it up to an A-, because I kind of didn't really, like, think about it too, that pick basically ended up being a third-round pick because we did so well. It was the second-to-last pick in the second round.
Yeah.
Yeah, love him, man. Miss him every day. We will talk about that other Marcus Peters trade later on in the pod. Rams trade a 2018 fifth-round pick to Denver for Aqib Talib. Now, we have to talk about this trade along with another trade because a few weeks later in the NFL draft, they turn around and they traded the 183rd pick, which was the sixth-round pick they actually got in the Robert Quinn trade, along with the 217th pick, which was a seventh-round pick. That and those picks ended up becoming Sam Jones and Keyshawn Barea, respectively. They trade those two picks to move up back to the 160th pick, the 2018 fifth-round pick that they traded for Aqib Talib, which ended up becoming Abania Okoronkwo. So they basically traded a sixth-round pick and a seventh-round pick for Aqib Talib. I give this an A+ because, like, even if it was a fifth-round pick, I'd still probably give it an A+. Aqib Talib was, you know, you could argue who was more talented that year, Talib or Peters. It doesn't matter. Talib was the guy who he brought a veteran presence. He brought, like, credibility. He brought, a locker room leader to that team, to that secondary. He was a team captain. He elevated the defense in a lot of ways, for sure, even though, you know, you're not going to sit here and say Aqib Talib was one of the five best cornerbacks in the league in 2018. He was still really good, and he was instrumental in that Super Bowl run. If he didn't get hurt, they might have had an even better record, but it didn't matter because they got him back for the playoffs. Like, to me, this is one of the best trades Les Snead made, and it's hilarious that they actually ended up getting that pick back, and it's a guy in Okoronkwo who may still end up being a contributor. He's shown a little bit of flashes. He hasn't really been on the field much until last year, but like, if it's an A-plus for me, and if he works out, it's even more of an A-plus, but it doesn't really matter what happens to him.
It's an A-plus on its own, for sure. Aqib Talib may not have been Marcus Peters, but he was the counterpart to Marcus Peters. He was kind of the balance, and also a big major reason why the Rams went to the Super Bowl in 2018. I think that Talib, to get him for essentially lower round picks is nothing short of amazing. And then plus we get Okoronkwo out of it. I'm all for it. You know, this is, even if Obo doesn't amount to what we hope he can be, I think that this is still a win. I don't think there's any denying whatsoever that this was an A+. Definitely one of Snead's better trades.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, not much more to say about it. There's literally no negative things to say about this trade. Back-to-back trades here, and two of the like more interesting trades to look back on. The Rams traded Alec Ogletree and a 2019 seventh-round pick that ends up becoming Chris Slayton to the Giants for a 2018 fourth-round pick and a 2018 sixth-round pick. And I feel like, to me, like, even though like, you basically get back nothing. You get it because you blow both these picks. You get a 2018 fourth round pick. You draft John Franklin Myers at 135. Actually, it was a decent rookie year, but then he gets cut. So it's like, okay, you got 1 year out of a guy who wasn't that good. And your sixth round pick, you take John Kelly, who the Rams trusted so much that when time came for him to start a couple games and Todd Gurley got injured, they signed C.J. Anderson off of his couch and gave him every carry after like 4 days of practice. They blew both the picks, but at the same time, I still give it a B because, like, Alec Ogletree fell apart. Like, he's not good anymore. Even though we, you know, Corey Littleton stepped in, and even though, like, we could still use an inside linebacker, like, it's not him. You got a fourth round pick for a guy who just was on a steady decline after this point. It's not like Robert Quinn, where I don't think Robert Quinn's value in 2018 is much worse than it is today. He's just older. Like, Ogletree is older and way worse. I think it's a B, even though the picks didn't work out, because it was the right call to move on from him.
Yeah, I gave it a C+, just because it was the right thing to do overall, just to clear up some cap space. Hey, funny, that seems to be a reoccurring thing, doesn't it? Yeah, they cleared up cap space for Ogletree, and you know, they tried to make best of the situation by getting some picks back, and unfortunately it didn't work out. John Franklin Myers did not pan out, unfortunately, and John Kelly never really got an opportunity, so happens. But yeah, C+, just because it needed to happen, and unfortunately, picks don't happen all the time. Good low round picks, I should say.
Yeah, like, it is what it is. We've talked about at length about how you don't hit them all, but yeah, I think it was still the right call to move on from Ogletree. I don't think it was the right call to move on from John Franklin Myers in 2019, but that's neither here nor there. Still blows my mind.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
Yeah, what a weird fucking move. Next trade, they trade a first-round pick. I guess this is at this point, it was the second year in a row now that they would be without a first-round pick. Ends up, it's 23rd overall, and ends up becoming Isaiah Wynn in that draft, and a 2018 sixth-round pick that ends up getting traded to the Patriots for Brandon Cooks and a 2018 fourth-round pick that they wind up trading, ends up becoming Marcus Haynes. And we'll talk about that Marcus Haynes pick in a little bit. I don't think we need to talk about these trades together. So this is a very, like, it's a weird one to look back on, given how Cooks panned out, you know, in the short term, an absolute win. Brandon Cooks more helpful in 2018 than anyone you would have gotten at that pick. But I don't like, he filled the void for Sammy Watkins. He was huge for the team's Super Bowl run. With Cooper Kupp getting injured, I think, yes, you needed Brandon Cooks to make that Super Bowl run. However, if Kupp doesn't get injured, I don't know if you need Brandon Cooks on the team to make that run. But regardless of win in 2018, I think he was more valuable than anyone that would have gotten at that pick for that season. But after he left, it's a weird 2019 season. He's injured. It's up and down. He's not that great when he's on the field. He's a giant contract that they signed him to an extension for way too early, but I guess it doesn't really matter. They end up moving on from him. They trade him for the 57th pick, which ends up becoming Van Jefferson. We'll probably talk a little bit more about that pick a little later. But so you end up with Van Jefferson. And essentially, this trade, you trade the 2018 first-round pick for 2 years of Brandon Cooks and then Van Jefferson. If you stay at that pick, man, I mean, that's a first-round pick. That's a valuable pick. Isaiah Wynn is a good player. He was the 11th highest-graded tackle on Pro Football Focus. And if you just stay at that pick and take a wide receiver instead of trading for him, the next three receivers off the board are DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, and Cortland Sutton. Those are all really good receivers. Calvin Ridley is one of the best young wide receivers in the NFL. I think Cortland Sutton is really good, and he's a big body, a type of player the Rams would need right now. DJ Moore, I think he's not as big of like a need player as the Rams would have, but he's very good at receiver. So you, like I said, you pass up on one meaningful, you give up one meaningful, I am word vomit right now, guys. I'm sorry. You trade, you could add one of those three guys, but instead you end up with Brandon Cooks for a year where he's really good and then a year where he's not. And Van Jefferson, who, you know, might end up becoming the fifth receiver on the depth chart this year if Atwell pans out. That's a possible thing that could happen. It's really like this trade, I think, out of all the win now trades we've made, I think this is the one where you see the positives of going all in and trading a first round pick for a good player and the negatives, because, you know, we'll talk about Jalen Ramsey a little bit later, but he's a home run right now, it seems. Brandon Cooks was a double for a year. And you could have just taken Calvin Ridley. You could have just taken Cortland Sutton, and those guys would be really good and on the roster. And if you go that route, you know, you don't need to draft Tutu Atwell this year. You know, you never would have had that Van Jefferson pick, so it's neither here nor there talking about it. So I guess after all that and all my reasoning laid out, I gave it a C+. It might be a B- because he was a really important player in the Super Bowl run, but like compared to the Marcus Peters trade, I think this draft pick is a little more important. What do you think?
Yeah, as far as Brandon Cooks is concerned, I liked the trade initially. I think there isn't really anybody that didn't like this trade initially, because I mean it really wasn't that much money much trade value when you really consider it together. And while they could have gotten, you know, guys more longer term, Ridley would have been nice. But
yeah, you think?
Yeah, it would have been nice. But I still think Brandon Cooks would have been a solid guy to have still. But the problem is, we didn't, you know, the Rams didn't know what the future was with Jared Goff. And this is where it becomes problematic. So his short stay, I think, was a little bit disappointing because it was a premature gesture to keep the faith in Jared Goff, which ultimately didn't pan out anyway. But in terms of the trade itself, I think it was still a solid move. I would still make this trade again and maybe do something different later on. But I would make this trade still today, even knowing Calvin Ridley becomes an option later on, because I think Brandon Cooks is really good for this team. And he, like I said, would have been really nice to have with Matthew Stafford. So it's a shame that he's not with us anymore. Ultimately, I gave it a B+, just because it could have gone better. But that's what happens every now and then. So I can't knock it too much, but it could have been better. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I don't really disagree with your grade or anything you said, honestly. I think just because we're talking about all the factors, that's why my grade would be lower. But yeah, and like if they traded Brandon Cooks because they weren't sure about Jared Goff, like that's on them, man. That's a bad decision if you're gonna trade a guy because you don't think your quarterback could get in the ball. Like that should not be the reason you trade one of these guys. I mean, look, we all thought Cooks was kind of done after last year. He's clearly not done. He's good. Never a great receiver, always a good receiver. Am I losing sleep over the fact that they made this trade? No, absolutely not. It does not keep me up one bit at night. There are things like knowing we could have had Khalil Mack instead of Greg Robinson. That is just insane. But like knowing we could have had Calvin Ridley instead of Brandon Cooks, it's not like not at that level, you know, and who knows if we even would have picked him there, but like, even like Isaiah Wynn would have been useful. But not the worst thing they've done, for sure. Not even close. And it helped. It helped in 2018. It helped in the short term, and that's what mattered at the time. Maybe the most inconsequential trade of the entire podcast, and that's including the Greg Salas trade. The Rams traded the 87th pick, became Arden Key, to the Raiders for the 89th pick that became Joseph Noteboom, and a six-round pick in the same draft that they ended up trading later on. I gave this trade an A. You move back two spots and you get a pick in the end of the third round. Like, it's a no-brainer. They probably would have taken Joseph Noteboom at 87. Get that extra pick. It's two spots. It's not at the top of the draft where, like, you risk a great player losing out on him. This trade doesn't matter. There's a chance neither of these guys are ever going to be good.
I gave it a B. Maybe I was a little too hard on this one, but I gave it a B just because I remember being disappointed in the selection of Joseph Noteboom. But in the end, I feel like Joseph Noteboom has been serviceable. You know, he started at guard a couple times. You know, for a couple seasons, you know, the problem being he can't stay healthy. And, you know, he even lined up at left tackle while Andrew Whitworth was out for a good portion of last season. So in the end, like Joseph Noteboom, even if he doesn't amount to anything else other than that, that's not bad considering, you know.
Arden Key is not exactly lighting the world on fire. He's not even on the Raiders anymore.
Yeah, there you have it. So, I gave it a B. Might be a little too harsh, but yeah. Hopefully Joseph Noteboom contributes something, but we're not even sure he's going to be the starter in 2021, which is slightly disappointing. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, today he's not slotted into the starting lineup, so we'll see in a couple of months. Another trade. Well, this one, I don't know. They trade a 2018 fourth-round pick, 136, ended up being Marcus Haynes, to the Panthers for a fifth-round pick, 147, so only 11 spots back, even though it's in a different round. Ends up becoming Micah Kizer. They pick up another sixth-round pick, 197th pick, that ends up getting traded later on. They draft Sean Dion Hamilton ends up becoming that pick. Like, I don't know. It's kind of the same, like, I give it a B-. Like, moving back 11 spots and getting another sixth-round pick. They had a lot of sixth-round picks. I don't know. We'll see what happens with Micah Kizer. They do get a position in need. Marcus Haynes seems like he's a better player than Micah Kizer today, but I don't think – we'll see. It was decent process in the trade. They love getting as many picks as they can. I don't know. B minus. For whatever reason, I don't have much love for this trade as I had for the No-Boom trade.
I pretty much went with B, so yeah. It's a lower round trade, so like it happens all the time, especially with teams like the Rams that just absolutely love to trade. So yeah, there's really not a whole lot to discuss here.
Yeah, and we won't discuss it any further. Johnny, this one is easily my favorite trade of this entire podcast series, just in terms of how funny it was when I read it. Like, just it's just hilarious how this trade turned out. The Rams trade Tavon Austin to the Cowboys for the 192nd pick, and that ends up becoming Jamil Demby. Just like, if you're a longtime listener of this pod, like, I hope you appreciated that as much as I did when I read it. I gave it a C. Like, you shed a little salary move in Austin, but they also just restructured his deal to make it pretty team friendly. Like, he obviously was done, like, with the Rams. He didn't really have any value. But you already have, like, I think they already had 3 6-round picks when they made this trade, because for whatever reason, they were fucking wheeling and dealing on day 3 in this draft. I mean, we're not even halfway through the day 3 trades, I don't think. So you get another 6th-round pick. Yeah, sure, give yourself another shot. Well, you blow the shot. Jamil Demby's still on the team, but, I mean, in spirit only at this point. I would have rather, not that it really matters, I would have rather them gotten a, like, 2019 fifth or sixth, because you already have so many sixths in this draft. Like, you can't like this draft that much. And ultimately, in 2021 today, Tavon Austin is the better player. So, I don't know. You didn't really win anything.
I think they were just so desperate to get something out of Tavon, they took it as a victory because of that.
Yeah, they probably did.
To be perfectly honest with you, I was shocked that they got a 6th-round pick.
Yeah.
It's just a shame they got Jamil Demby out of it.
The Cowboys used him. Like, they absolutely fucking won this trade. It was a coup for them.
Oh, yeah. There's no questions asked. I mean, they didn't exactly get the Tavon Austin that the Rams were hoping for, but, he was serviceable somewhat.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, the next trade, you pick up another 6th-round pick, so then here they go. They literally made, like, 4 trades involving 6th-round picks in this draft. This one, they trade back. So this is, like, it's funny when, like, these trades, like, you read the picks and it's not a big deal, and then you read the players. They trade the 194th pick for the 244th pick and the 256th pick. So you move back a decent amount of spots, but it's, like, day 3. So, I mean, does it matter that much? Well, maybe for a team that was obsessed with getting 6th-round picks in this draft. They pick up two 7th-round picks. They end up becoming Justin Lawler, and then the other one's Trey Quinn, but we end up trading that pick, and it ends up being Trevon Young and Traven Howard that they get back. We'll talk about that in a second. But the player that went at 194 is Russell Gage, who, I mean, you could argue is better than any receiver the Rams have drafted since Cooper Kupp. So, I mean, even though this trade, like, is not a big deal, when we're factoring the players, you have to give it an F. Because he's been, like, you still had so many 6th-round picks. You draft Sebastian Joseph Day with the literal next pick. So, like, you're not mad about this draft, but, like, in grading this inconsequential trade, it has to be an F, because Russell Gage is not bad.
Yeah, Russell Gage is actually surprisingly good. I agree with you. That's what I was rolling with because of who they ended up with, to be honest.
Yeah, no really even reason to debate it. I mean, I think he might be better than Josh Reynolds. Maybe we could have been useful last year. Next trade, this is the last trade in the draft, second to last trade of 2018. They trade another 6th-round pick. This one's 197 and the 256 pick that they just picked up in the last trade. Like, I can't even imagine their fucking draft room making all these trades during the draft. Just like with six round picks, it's like they're just in like an active dynasty league and just making trades for no reason. But they end up getting the 205th pick, becomes Trayvon Young, and the 231st pick, that becomes Traven Howard. So, I mean, Howard is the only guy out of these four that's still on the team that drafted him. Shout out to my bikers out there in Los Angeles. So, Traven Howard, as much as I've said in this podcast, it's insane for people to like think he should be locked in as a starter when he's done nothing. The best player in the trade, and you get the best player for moving back eight spots in the sixth round and moving up 25 spots in the seventh. Like, I guess I got to give it an A-, you know, for just a trade that doesn't also, like, didn't really matter. You got a player who's still on the team who, you know, isn't a hard lock to make the team, but seems like a pretty much lock to make the Rams this year.
Yeah, for sure. I'm kind of right there with you. Initially, I was giving it a B+, but I think you might have inspired me to go up to an A-.
It's funny, Johnny, because I literally had B+ written down on my paper, and as I explained the thoughts behind the trade being good, I upped it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense the way you explained it and everything. That's absolutely true, even though it's such a random trade.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good trade.
By the way, I have to ask the listeners, how are you liking your motorcycle ASMR?
I love it.
I'm only looking out in your guys' best interest.
It's to me, like, listening to the podcast, like, when there's, like, kind of subtle background noise, it's more annoying than if, like, something insane, like, something just, like, fuck, like a motorcycle parade happening outside your house.
And this almost never happens. I never hear motorcycles outside my house. Not that I'm actively listening for it or anything, but I never hear that. And of course, the day we hop on a podcast, they're out there, you know, basically doing wheelies everywhere.
Yeah. Hey, why wouldn't it? last trade of 2018, the Rams trade a 2019 third round pick, ends up being 98th overall, ends up becoming Quincy Williams, and a 2020 fifth round pick, ends up being 165, ends up becoming Colin Johnson, to the Jaguars for Dante Fowler. A big trade at the time, and I think this is a great trade. What'd you grade it?
I gave it an A+. I remember telling you that I wanted Dante Fowler so bad. I didn't think it was going to happen, and basically the Rams surrendering just a third and a fifth round pick for him. That was a no-brainer for me, and he unfortunately didn't stay with the Rams that long, but for a third and fifth round pick, who cares? And well, he didn't have that much success in Atlanta, but he's still young, so who knows, maybe he bounces back.
Yeah, it's to me like the trade in kind of a vacuum of just like you trade Dante Fowler for a you give up a third round pick and a fifth round pick. He's only here for a year and a half. It's probably an A, but I'm giving it an A+ because like A, this is probably another deal the Rams needed to make a Super Bowl run in 2018. Like I know like Dante Fowler was not the difference maker in that Super Bowl run, but who are we starting? Matt Longacre and, I don't know, Samson Ebukam. Weren't those our DNs when we made this trade?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so he's
Matt Longacre.
Yeah, man. This is pre Clay Matthews too. So yeah, like you had to make this trade. You didn't give up that much, and like we said with the other second round pick, it ends up becoming the second or last pick in the round. Obviously it was a compensatory pick, so not as much, but in the main round at least. And then you keep him for another year, even though he's in a contract year, not on a long-term deal. He crushes it in 2019, and he's good enough to bring you back a compensatory pick that ends up being a third-round pick. So ultimately, you still get another third round pick for Dante Fowler. And on top of that, like you mentioned, he sucks now. So like everything, like it, I don't think it could have worked out that much better for the Rams.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Especially because I think that Dante Fowler is still a talented player, but he needs to be in the right system, and clearly he's not in Atlanta. So they lost out on his massive contract, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, oh well. I'm not supposed to sleep over that at all. All right, we're going to move on to 2019. Johnny, so in grading this, like the draft trades in this year, I think we have to grade them all at once because they were all like a domino effect of each trade. So I don't know how you graded it, but I will give you some time if you want to like grade these all as once, while I explain how fucking ridiculous the series of events was. So for reference, 2019 is the only time since 2016 that the Rams have entered the draft with a first round pick. It was 31st overall because they made the Super Bowl. So here is a series of events of what happened with that pick and who they ended up with. 31st overall ends up becoming Caleb McGarry, but they traded it. They traded back along with a 6th round pick, 203, that became Marcus Green, to the Falcons. They pick up the 45th pick and the 79th pick that was in the 3rd round. They end up keeping the 79th pick. That becomes David Long. The next trade, when they come up at 45, they trade back from 45 Patriots to the Patriots, end up taking Jojuan Williams. We trade back 256, and we also pick up 101 in the 3rd round. Both of these picks will be traded. I will mention these players when they come up. 56 comes around. We end up trading to the Chiefs, who take Mecole Hardman. We pick up Taylor Rapp at 61, so we move back and get the 6th first pick. We finally make a pick in that draft. It ends up becoming Taylor Rapp, safety out of Washington, who's still here. And we also pick up a 2019 5th-round pick that's 167 that also gets traded. Now, I'm going to keep saying the trades because all of these trades are a direct result of that first trade. They trade the 101st pick and a 4th-round pick that's 133rd overall to the Patriots. Patriots end up drafting Yannick Cousté at 101 and Jared Stidham at 133, which is funny. We end up moving 4 spots up. We get 97 back. That ends up becoming Bobby Evans, and we also pick up 162. So we basically move back 30 spots later in the draft to move up 4 spots here and pick up Bobby Evans. That 5th-round pick we just pick up, 102nd in this trade, we trade that and 167 to move up to 134, where we, you know, would have been if we didn't make the last trade. They end up taking Greg Gaines, and we also pick up a 7th-round pick that ultimately ends up becoming Nick Scott. So, you know, as far as 7th-round picks go, not bad. So all of those trades were literally direct domino effects of each other. And you basically trade the 31st overall pick and a late 4th-round pick, 133rd, and you wind up with Taylor Rapp, David Long, Bobby Evans, Greg Gaines, and Nick Scott. Now, this will be a lot less complicated to talk about because you get a lot of shit back. If we were sure any of these guys are good, like, we're pretty sure Taylor Rapp is good, but, like, we're not positive. We are not sure about anyone else in this trade. Johnny, I mean, I'm going to walk down some of the guys that we could have had during that trade back series. Do you want to say any, do you want to give any thoughts before I do that? Or should I just keep going with all the context before we give grades?
Keep going. There's just so much.
Yeah. I forgot how many things happened in this draft. So let's walk it back a little. At 31, Falcons end up taking Caleb McGarry. His tackle, not bad. You could have had him. A lot of linemen went in between 31 and 45. And keep in mind, the Rams needed linemen in this draft. This was right after John Sullivan left, right after Roger Saffold left. And we were going into the season banking on Joe Newboom and Brian Allen, which with hindsight, we know did not work. You could have had Dalton Risner in there. He's pretty good. But, I mean, I don't think you're losing sleep on the trade back from 31 to 45. Because you do pick up a decent third. You end up taking David Long, who we really liked at the time. And, I mean, you never know. Like, he might get a chance. He will at least get a chance in camp to be a player on the team this year. And we'll see if he can become one. 45 is where I think they should have stayed. I don't think anything that happens after this justifies not sitting there. Jawan Williams ends up being the pick. He's a cornerback. You don't need him. But as I mentioned a lot over the years, you could have just taken Eric McCoy there at 45. He's been a starter for the Saints since they got drafted. He's a good center. We have had a lot of issues at center. We filled it briefly with Austin Blythe. He's gone. Now you're going through the same issues again. We could have just had Eric McCoy there. And we've been okay with it. If you want to, like, be like real Captain Hindsight, AJ Brown goes between 45 and 56. You take a receiver in the next year's draft. Like, if you went AJ Brown here, that would have been fucking great, but I don't think that happens. I don't know if there's a reality where that happens. Ultimately, though, this nets you a late third round pick that you end up trading up a little for Bobby Evans. So, like, I mean, this, like, you could add Eric McCoy instead of Taylor Rapp and Bobby Evans. I think you do rather have that, you know, right now with the safety situation, maybe not, but safety situation might be different if this draft goes differently. And then at 56, you're sitting there, it ends up becoming Mecole Hardman. I don't think they should have moved back from 45, but I think now that you're at 56, it was the right call to move back because you move back five spots. You pick up another pick and you end up picking Taylor Rapp, who I think looking at how those five picks played out, you probably would have taken him anyways. So you kind of just get some free capital. All that being said, I feel like I kind of laid out my thoughts on all of this. Ultimately, you get a lot of draft capital for that 31st pick. It's a lot of players, but you don't really hit on any of them. You might hit on Taylor Rapp, but you could have had better players than him with those other picks. If David Long and Bobby Evans end up in, I mean, I guess Greg Gaines too, end up becoming legit players in this team, we could relitigate this next offseason. I will give it a much higher grade. But today, I think I give it a B minus just because, like, given how many fucking picks you pick up, these players should be better. Like, you should have at least hit on one of them, but we don't know yet. Like, we just don't know yet. I think it's ultimately too early to hit on this. But to me, I think you keep that David Long. You end up, like, if you just stayed at 45, you kind of end up with Eric McCoy and David Long. And you're not that upset about it. I'm sure you could have found a way to get Nick Scott in the seventh round if you were high on him.
I really wanted Eric McCoy also.
It hurts a little. He'd be so useful.
But that being said, I'm with you, man. I actually said B minus as well. And the funny thing is I had actually graded each individual trade.
You could give those grades if you want, but like when I was reading all these trades, I was like, I have to talk about these as one giant trade. Because like they were all a part of each other. If they make that pick at 31, literally none of these other trades could happen.
But pretty much they're all in the same category. Like they're between B minus, B, B plus. So in the end, if I average it out, it's going to be about a B minus. So yeah, that's totally fine with me. I think for me the thing that hurt the most was Eric McCoy, just because I kind of figured that this guy was gonna be a starting caliber center slash guard, probably closer to center, and sure enough he was, and very easily can see why. And then we kind of just traded back because that's what we do. You know, that being said, of the group we've mentioned, the guys that we did end up getting, the Taylor Rapp, Greg Gaines, David Long, Bobby Evans, you know, these are guys that could be potentially good. Taylor Rapp, I have a lot of faith in. I like him a lot. Bobby Evans, yeah.
We'll see. I mean, he had a great game against the Bears in his rookie year. But what we saw last year was not great. And it seems like he's going to get a chance to start. So if he's good, then, yeah, it's a lot easier to swallow.
Yeah, so that's interesting with Bobby Evans. But even still, this guy was a fifth-round pick, you know? Wait, fifth round, right?
No, Evans was a third-round pick. It was it was David Edwards, who I always get their rounds mixed up. You would think David Edwards was a third-round pick, but he was actually the fifth-round pick.
Yeah, I kind of switched that there. Yeah, still, you know, third-round pick for an offensive guard. That's, you know, this is a guy that, well, technically he was a tackle and now being converted to a guard. So we'll see how he ends up. Hopefully he develops into a nice guard. I mean, he kind of worked with David Edwards, so we'll see. But I like Greg Gaines a lot. I think he's a solid backup. Don't know if he'll ever become anything more than that. And David Long, I'm kind of interested in the most because we were all very high on David Long for a good reason. You know, his collegiate career, he did very well. And it could just be that David Long just didn't have much of an opportunity playing behind guys like Jalen Ramsey, Darius Williams, Troy Hill, all of which are very, very talented cornerbacks. I'm hoping that's the case, but considering that he hasn't really been used much at all, I have my doubts, but we'll see. We'll see. This season will tell us a lot whether we truly won this trades or not.
Yeah, this one out of all the trades here is probably the one that's a little too early to litigate. But yeah, so there's still four more trades, and all of them happened during the season, which is pretty wild. This was obviously the Rams were like not a full dumpster fire, but they were like a trash can fire when they started making trades this offseason. First one was they traded a 2021 fifth round pick, ends up being 169th overall. Richard LeCount was the guy that got drafted, obviously hasn't played yet, so like we're not gonna talk about him. To the Browns for Austin Corbett. So, I mean, to me, this is one of the best trades the city's made as well. It's an A+. You take it's just like it's not that often that like you get to make low risk, high reward trades, and this is a low risk, high reward, and it worked out. Corbett's been a really good lineman for us. We'll see how he does back at center. But even if he fails at center, you got a good starter last year out of a fifth round pick and a late fifth round pick to boot. So, yeah, you make this trade every time. It was a money trade. Austin Corbett was the 33rd pick in 2018, and this is a year and a half out from there. So, absolutely worth a risk on a guy like that, and it worked out. So, yeah, A+.
Yeah, this, without a question, is an A+. I don't imagine in any universe that this isn't an A+. Even if Richard LeCount, I think that's how you say his name, even if he pans out to being a really good player, it doesn't matter. Austin Corbett was a hell of a starter for us last year. Jury's going to be out for if he's going to be a really good center or not. I'm hoping so, but we'll see. Hopefully he develops into a center. But, you know, this is a really solid guy for a very low-risk fifth-round pick. So, yeah, A+ automatically for sure.
Yep. Yeah. It's a great trade. Do we talk about Jalen Ramsey and Marcus Peters together or separately?
You know what? Screw it. Let's do it together.
Okay. So the Rams made two trades on this fateful day. The first one was they traded a 2020 first-round pick and a 2021 first-round pick and a 2021 fourth-round pick, which they actually ended up getting back in later trades, which we're not going to talk about because we're not going to do 2021 on this podcast, but it ended up being Robert Rochelle, to the Jaguars for Jalen Ramsey to make some a little cap space, or I don't even remember if they had to make this trade or not, but they obviously it was a direct result of this trade. They also traded Marcus Peters to the Ravens for Kenny Young in a 2020 fifth-round pick, which they ended up trading. Although the guy that got picked was Darnell Mooney, so I wouldn't hate if he was on the team. So it's – when I combine – like, so on its own, the Jalen Ramsey trade to me is an absolute A+. Absolute money. You trade two firsts and a fourth for a generational talent. I mean, one of the best, you know, cornerbacks of one of the best defensive players of his generation. The Rams now, depending on who you talk to, they probably have two of the five best defensive players in the league on their defense. Even though both him and Donald are going to be making massive amounts of money, you can siphle in and out enough talent around the margins to build around those two guys because they're that fucking good. He is not Aaron Donald, but he is one of the best defensive players in the league and, you know, potentially a Hall of Famer down the line if he keeps it up. There's a chance the Rams are have two Hall of Famers in the primes of their career anchoring one of the best defenses in the league. But I will say if I combine the trades, I would actually knock it down to an A because, like, do you trade two first-round picks for Marcus Peters? Absolutely. Or, sorry, for Jalen Ramsey? Absolutely. Do you trade two first-round – is the upgrade of two first-round picks and Marcus Peters, knowing what you know now with how he's doing in Baltimore, like he's crushing it. He actually made an all-pro team in this same season, I'm pretty sure, which is wild. Is two first-round picks and Marcus Peters worth it for Jalen Ramsey? Yeah, probably, but I would say it's an A rather than an A+ when you factor in both trades. Because, like, without Marcus Peters, it's like, yes. But with Marcus Peters, it's like, yeah, it's still worth it. But it's not, like, as emphatic of a yes, if that makes sense.
The funny thing is I had the separate coming into this. And obviously the Marcus Peters trade – I actually gave a T+ for it because basically it was a setup for things to come. That's the reason why it wasn't a total F.
Yeah, I gave it a C-. And to be fair to the Rams, like if Kenny Young was good, the whole thing would be, you know, not that it's hard to swallow because we have Jalen Ramsey, but the whole thing would probably be an A+ if Kenny Young's good, but he's not.
Not at all. But, yeah, so Jalen Ramsey is the Jalen Ramsey trade, when you combine it all, I mean, on its own, I gave it an A+, obviously. But when you combine everything together, I give it an A-. You know, still not bad. I mean, A- is still an A- at the end of the day. But I regret nothing. Jalen Ramsey has been nothing but a stud here in Los Angeles. And while Marcus Peters had his time here and did very well for us and is easily one of the most clippable guys in terms of audio clips, it's just better to have Jalen Ramsey as opposed to Marcus Peters. I hate saying that just because I do think that Marcus Peters is a very good player, but he's not Jalen Ramsey good, if we're being honest.
No, he's not. Well, according to him, he is. But, like,
yeah.
He is good, though. So, you know, it's not like you're trading David Long. You are trading good players. I wish we could have kept them both.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know. Like, they might have murdered each other. I don't know if those two dudes could play with each other. But, yeah, man, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to be fine with it. I don't know. You clearly got the best player in that deal. Okay, so the last trade of 2019, the Rams traded Aqib Talib and a fifth round pick that also that ends up being traded. It was becomes Darnell Mooney, as we mentioned earlier, to the Dolphins for a 2022 seventh round pick. I didn't like do any research beyond the trade. Like, why did we do this? He was a free agent at the end of the season, and he was hurt. Like, what was it? What, and you? Why did we give up a fifth round pick to trade him?
So, based on what I heard from what Aqib Talib said in a podcast, he basically said that, you know, that he felt like his injury wasn't that severe, but the Rams essentially kind of forced him to be on the injury list, and they could still technically bring him back. And Talib just wasn't happy with the thought of putting him on the injury list. So he, I think, didn't show up for a practice or something like that. And they informed him that, you know, we're just going to go ahead and trade you. And they traded him to the Dolphins and basically just caught nothing. They traded him for nothing.
They gave up a pick to trade him. Like, they attached a pick to move him.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But, hey, isn't that 2022 seventh-round pick going to be so worth it in the end?
No! I don't, like... What? I'm trying to go back and read articles. So I guess the Rams did save $4.2 million on this trade. But they saved $4.2 million and gave up a draft pick. We are talking about a team who does everything to win now. And this is like a trade that a bad team makes to save, like a poor franchise makes to save money. Not a team whose owner is fucking funding a $5 billion stadium by himself. This is an F.
When you put
this,
it like that.
This might be the worst trade of the whole thing. Like, I know Aqib Talib didn't even play, but you give up a fifth round pick, just save $4 million. Like, your franchise is worth $4 billion. Like, don't be cheap. And, like, maybe Talib comes back later in the year. Maybe he plays with Ramsey and helps us make the playoffs that year. I know this trade doesn't matter, but also the guy that got drafted at 173 was Darnell Mooney. Not a bad player. Not a bad player at all. I hate this trade. I'm getting mad thinking about it.
I mean, at the same time, what if you get a damn good player with that 2022 seventh round pick?
Yeah, okay, yeah. If they get a good player with the 2027th, sure. I want to go back to our podcast after this trade and hear what we said. Like, if I don't remember if I was just baffled at the time, or we were probably just still in like Jalen Ramsey days that we didn't care.
That's probably what it was, because I would have liked to have kept Talib, but. It didn't really matter, honestly, because he ended up not playing another game in the NFL.
Yeah, no, yeah. But you gave up a fifth.
That's kinda true.
I don't know. all right, we're on to 2020. Last segment of the pod. Luckily, there's only two trades in the season. As I mentioned before, we're not going to do 2021. Like, there's absolutely no point of us sitting here grading the Matthew Stafford trade after we've already talked about it a bunch. All right. So we did kind of already talk about this guy on this podcast, but Rams traded Brandon Cooks in a 2022 fourth round pick to the Texans for a 2022 second round pick. That was the 57th overall pick. They end up trading Van Jefferson. So it's weird to grade this one, because at the time of the trade, getting a second round pick for Brandon Cooks in his albatross contract, and his concussion issues felt like a big win. But it's only been a year. So I feel like this trade, unless Van Jefferson ends up being really good, this might age even worse. Like, was this worth it? I mean, you opt to take a receiver 57. You might have taken the wrong guy. clearly the moves Rams indicate this offseason makes it feel like they took the wrong guy at 57, because you draft a receiver, you sign DeSean Jackson. Cooks is better than both of them. Cooks is better than all three of those guys. Like, I know the money wouldn't have worked. He might have still been gone by now. He probably wouldn't have looked good with Jared Goff last year, and he might have deteriorated as an asset. But if you just, like, if you just make a better pick at 57 last year, if you go with somebody like Josh Uche, Willie Gay, Julian Okwara, guys that were needs at that pick, instead of getting a guy who, as I mentioned earlier, might be our fifth receiver next year. I don't think he will, but he could be. It's on Van to make this one more palatable, but to me, it's a C.
Cough, Denzel Mims. Yeah. I think that obviously they traded Brandon Cooks for several reasons. Personally, I think the main reason was because Jared Goff couldn't get him the football. But and that's obvious because he went to a quarterback that could, and last year was the end result of that. So Brandon Cooks, they moved on from him because he wasn't compatible in the offense anymore, and they also needed to save money, which they kind of did and kind of didn't, when you really think about it.
So they did save money this offseason, but last year they saved no money in this trade. You basically just moved on from the rest of his contract. Last year, the Rams still paid him $16 million in 2020 because of dead cap. So, I mean, essentially, Johnny, like, this trade allowed you to sign Leonard Floyd this offseason.
Yeah, basically. So, yeah, when you look at it like that,
it makes you feel a little better.
Exactly. A tiny bit better. But this trade, how it'll be graded in the future, will largely depend on what ends up happening with Van Jefferson. We'll see. You know, last year he had some moments of greatness, and then there was moments where he was just there. So we'll see. We'll see how he develops. He has a better quarterback this year. Maybe he ends up surprising us and making this trade a little bit better. But ultimately, I gave it a C-. I could have been a little harder, could have been a little more lenient, but I went with C-.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks era was weird. Weird looking back on it.
Yes.
Last trade of the pod, and one that it's probably way too early to grade and might end up being completely meaningless. The Rams trade the 126th pick in the fourth round to the Texans and drafting Charlie Heck. For the 136th pick, we draft Bryson Hopkins, as well as two seventh-round picks, 248 and 250. Those picks end up becoming Sam Sloman and Tremaine Ankrum. I give this a B-. If we're talking about the process, it probably should be B-plus or A-, because you move back 10 spots in the fourth round, and based on the guy they picked too. Like, they probably were going to pick him either way, but you pick up two seventh-round picks. You get to take him shots later. The problem is, like, these seventh-round picks should not matter yet. But Sam Sloman, in his brief time with the Rams, was, like, this trade made the Rams worse last year somehow. And so for that reason, I'm going to knock it to a B-. Like, Sam Sloman literally made the Rams worse.
Yeah, when I think of this trade, I think, what the heck?
And I mean, like, based on, we haven't even talked about, like, camp buzz. We should start doing that soon. But based on everything we've heard, like, I have a feeling that Bryson Hopkins is not going to be a player. I have a feel, like, they're hyping up Jacob Harris so much. Tyler Higbee's still here. Like, I have a feeling this dude's not going to matter.
This is where it gets really interesting, because overall the trade may amount to something very meaningless, because we don't really know what any of these guys are going to amount to yet. It's still very early. But there's a very real possibility that the Rams may ultimately cut Bryson Hopkins if he's just not up to snuff. And, you know, we just talked about John Franklin Myers, who they just cut, and he actually had success. Bryson Hopkins took a redshirt year last year, which happens. Don't get me wrong, it happens. But when you essentially get a guy that's a similar type of player, and then you can technically use Ben Skowronek as a tight end also, if Bryson Hopkins does not emerge as any type of player, it would not surprise me at all if he's outright cut before the start of the season. And that's devastating to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think it would be like a John Franklin Myers, like, head scratcher cut. Like, yeah, we would be scratching our heads a little bit, but
not for the same reason.
Not for the same reason. Yeah. It'd be like, you're just giving up on the guy. But like, if Jacob Harris is good, yeah. And like you mentioned with Ben, you know, if both of, I don't know if Ben's going to make the, what's his last name? Skowronek?
Skowronek.
Skowronek. I know this guy, listeners. Okay. I just forgot his last name. I'm not ready to say he's going to make the team, but like, if he makes a team, I don't think Bryson Hopkins makes a team, because I don't think they're definitely not cutting Jacob Harris, and I don't think they're cutting Johnny Munt with Gerald Everett gone. So, yeah, that would suck. That would suck.
Fun fact, Ben Skowronek is actually related to Trent Green. That is his uncle.
That is a very fun fact. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, with this trade, too, there's also a chance that Tremaine Ankrum is the best player in the entire trade. Charlie Heck looked at Charlie Heck. He started one game last year. I have no idea how he did. He's not listed as a Texan starter on the line this year. But there's also a chance all four of these players don't matter. Although Sam Sloman made a big kick for the Titans last year.
About one of the only kicks he made. Yeah, so ultimately I kind of agreed with you. I actually have B- on this, but after talking about it, I kind of want to lower it to a C+.
It's just like you pick up three picks, or you pick up two additional picks to move back 10 spots. I mean, I don't know. You could have just sat at, you could have taken Gabe Davis at 126. Maybe you don't have to draft 2-2 this year, but I don't know. That's Gabe Davis, also a guy that we're not sure is good yet either.
Yeah.
Now, more evidence that he's good than Bryson Hopkins. There's at least some evidence that he's good. Yep. I don't think Bryson Hopkins suited up a game last year.
No, he did not.
Oh, according to Wikipedia, he made his debut on October 26th in a win against the Bears. But he was not injured before that, so he was sat through a lot of healthy scratches. Alrighty, man, we did it. Thank you to anyone who sat through all three of these podcasts. It genuinely means a lot that people care about our thoughts on this subject. How do you feel? That was a lot of trades.
You know, it makes me appreciate Les Snead a little more. The fact that he, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there that have mixed feelings on the guy. You know, some people really, really like him, and some people really hate him. Me personally, I like him for the fact that he actually tries to make the team better. We've seen countless GMs across the league that basically have the wait and see approach, and they stay terrible in the wait and see approach. So the Rams have had GMs like that, and they went nowhere. With Les Snead, the Rams have seen both. They've seen terrible teams, and they've seen a Super Bowl team. Makes you appreciate him a little more.
Yep, and I think he's definitely improved as a GM as time has gone on, especially with trades. Maybe not so much with contract extensions, but
that's for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, man, he's done a lot. They try. They really, when things aren't working, they're not afraid to shake it up, which you have to respect. And I just remember this, Johnny. I forgot to mention this. We actually missed a trade on one of the previous podcasts.
Which one?
We're already really long, so I don't really care about adding 5 minutes. Is there any trade you don't remember talking about? Because we actually got back a memorable player, but I'm just going to assume that you thought we signed him as a free agent.
Hit me. I can't think of it.
March 10th, 2015, the Rams trade a 2016 seventh round pick that ends up being 235. The player that ended up getting drafted is Lack Edwards to the Texans for Case Keenum. I forgot to mention the Case Keenum trade. That's an easy A plus.
Yeah, even though it didn't quite work out to how we wanted it to.
It wasn't bad. He was arguably our best quarterback that season and definitely was our best quarterback in 2016. And for a seventh round pick, we took Sean Mannion with a third round pick, and they didn't even trust him enough that they got Case Keenum and played him.
There you have it.
All right. Yeah. Well, this was great offseason fun. We'll back next week to talk about the current Rams probably. But if you haven't yet, follow us on Twitter at Steve Ribeiro, at Johnny5.6, at Talk Rams. Feel free to tweet us. Let us know what you thought about these pods. What was your favorite lesson you trade? What was your least favorite? And give us a 5-star rating if you have not on Apple Podcasts yet. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that. We're going to see him soon. You feel me?